I pray that you will let the Spirit lead you, and I pray that we can have a conversation in God's Word today that will mean something after we close these doors on His house today. I want to talk to you about accepting God's holy gift. We are in a series, and have been since the resurrection, of looking at what happens after the resurrection. What imparts to us? What is God giving us that we can hold on to and realize that He's real? Jesus said, "I will leave you my Holy Spirit to comfort you." The name for God's Holy Spirit is many. But remember that He is still God. He is part of the triune God. He is every much God as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. In fact, His Spirit dwells within us, and He can be everywhere at once. So therefore, Jesus said, it is better if I go physically back to where I came from and leave my Holy Spirit with you so that I can be everywhere with everyone all the time. I can be omnipresent. That means everywhere at one time. That's one of the qualities of our God, that He is omnipresent. And that happens because and through His Holy Spirit. So let's treat Him as the God that He is as we think about this. And Jesus said, we already read it this morning in John 6:63, that the Spirit is life. The Spirit is life. I know that. I've been at the bedside of people who have passed from this life to the next. And I've seen the Spirit leave their body. Sadly, in some cases, but in some cases, joyfully, as a release from the burden of this life. The Spirit is real. And if you've ever been in that situation, you can understand that it is. That He is. And that your life is based on your spirit, not your bones. I want to talk to you about accepting this gift of God's Holy Spirit. And what I'm talking about is having a happier life here and now with benefits. Everybody now, and I'm glad for it, wants a job with benefits, right? It's all about benefits. What do I get? What are the benefits associated with this job? It's not just so much per hour, and you take it home and you live with it and you do with it as you can, but now it's a job with pay and benefits. So I want to talk to you about receiving His gift for a happier life with benefits, and the greatest part about it is you have a purpose in life. People that don't have a purpose in life are wandering aimlessly through this life, never knowing where they're going, what they're doing, and they're dissatisfied for the most part. In fact, they're so dissatisfied that they reach out for comfort from worldly things, and they end up getting themselves in trouble because they're reaching for the wrong thing. And it can be alcohol, it can be drugs, it can be you name it. They're not reaching for the life that was intended for them. Christ died on the cross for us, intending that we would have a good, beneficial life with purpose. I have a purpose. When I get up in the morning, isn't it good to know that you have something to do? Maybe, she said. So if you want this morning, if you're interested in God's holy gifts, if you're interested in a happier life with benefits and a purpose, then we need to know how to accept this holy gift. And it only comes one way. The only way that you can accept all these gifts that Christ has for us is to allow God to speak to you and through His Holy Spirit. It won't work any other way. You can try it. Fake religion is just fake religion. Religion is just religion. Get out of the habit, if you're in it, saying that I'm religious or my granddad was religious. Religion, Jesus said, people's religion for just doing the act of being, quote, religious, was going to kill you. There's nothing about religiosity that's going to gain you an entrance into heaven. What gains your entrance into heaven is your belief and faith in a Lord and Savior, and His name is Jesus Christ. It's that simple. And then you have to allow Him to speak to you through His Spirit. That was my prayer for each teacher and aide and nursery worker that walked out of this room, right? I asked them to look at John 6:63 and to release themselves and let themselves be led by His Spirit. What if you did that on a daily basis? I mean, every hour of every day. I asked you just a couple weeks ago if you'd just give Him 12 seconds or 12 minutes. Did any of you try it? Did any of you try putting your phone down and not looking at it every 12 seconds if you're in a conversation? Don't answer, but where are your phones? Right now, this minute. I saw a few of you look down. Are they off? Is the volume at least turned down? Will you at least give God a few more minutes to hear His Word this morning? Because we're about to open it full blown. And I'm feeling a little better, and I was serious when I said I'm about to step on some toes. They'll be mine. You have to choose whether you allow your toes to be stepped on this morning. You can just clam up this morning. You can just clam up and go into your little shell and go to na-na land for the next few minutes. Or you can hear God's Word. I know this is a great place to come and sleep. I know. You have the air turned down, right, Joe? Maybe you should turn the fans on low, too. It's a little hot up here. It's about to get a lot hotter out there. Last week, we discovered that overcoming difficulties in our life, and this it has to do with accepting God's gift. This is a continuation of last week. I want to paint you just a little picture. If you want to accept God's gift, then sometimes to be able to accept this gift, you need some prayer and fasting in your life. You need to let go of some earthly junk. That's the fasting part. And you need to be speaking with God. That's the prayer part, so that you can receive what He has for you. A life that's happy with benefits and a purpose. A life with benefits and purpose. It's a great job. It'll pull you through. It'll get you through, and God will see you through if you'll allow Him to. So we're going to look at the gifts of God's Holy Spirit. You can go ahead and pre-turn, if you would like to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And then I have an example to give you back in the little book of Mark, the second of the four Gospels of God's Holy Word. We'll be looking at an example of how God can set you free and give you a life with purpose and have you be happy for once, because you have a life with benefits and a life with purpose. You can be happy. It is possible to be happy. Even with the constraints that are on you right now, it is possible to be happy, even in our sorrows and grief. It is possible. It's possible. You'll be able to manage whatever is wrong a lot better if you accept His Holy Spirit and let Him lead you. He will give you a gift. I don't know which one He will give you. Many of you already have these gifts. Others are waiting on it. And don't wait for you to do something. Ask God to do something in your life. Open yourself up and let Him give you that gift. He's been waiting for you to receive it forever. Have people say, "Boy, I wish I could find my place in the church." Which toilet do you want to clean? We've got four of them. Well, I think we have more. Or you could be called to preach the word. And whether it's cleaning a toilet for the Lord or preaching the word, each gift is acceptable in God's presence, and it's as important as the next one. Every gift is just as important. And you need to take that gift that God is going to give you or you already have and use it to the fullest extent, and know that when you wake up in the morning, you have a life that is full of benefits and has a purpose. Thank you, Lord. These gifts that are given us are given us by the work of Jesus Christ, and they were paid for by Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. Your job in Christ's holy spiritual world was bought and paid for by the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. He was able to, when he said, "Father, forgive them, I'm doing this for them," he was allowing us to be set free of sin in our life so that we can do holy work. Do you understand that? That cross work that he did was to lift sin from our life and to lift grief from our life. And to quit looking back about what I used to be or what I did, and look forward to the work that's for today. It's to lift that veil that separated God and man. He said, "I'm doing this for you. I'm setting you free. And here's my gift. Now go and use it." You're no longer under the burden of sin. You're free. You're completely forgiven. Now go and do the work that I've given you. And by the way, here's a gift. Will you take it and will you use it? Paid for by the blood of Christ. Freely given because of Christ's work of grace in this world. He didn't ask you for one dime, did he? That's why I don't ask for anything from this pulpit or from that floor. Christ didn't ask for one thing the night before, except he prayed to God the Father and he said, "Lord, bless them. I know they're going to have difficulties. I know it's going to be tough. I know they're going to be tempted. I know that the fowler is out there. The devil is running around. I know he's after them, but I'm praying for them. Father, protect them to do the work of the kingdom. Allow me, Lord, to send my Holy Spirit into this world to bless them and keep them and comfort them and to lead them into righteous behavior." What's the point of being forgiven if we don't try to live a life that is worthy of the one who died for us? What's the point? There's no point. We say we accept His grace and we accept His forgiveness of our sins, and then we go ahead and live the life that we used to live. Paul said, "God forbid that that would happen." Here are the gifts that God gave you. It's in 1 Corinthians, chapter 12. And perhaps I should turn there, you think? How are your feet doing this morning, by the way? First Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 1. "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant." Doesn't mean stupid. He's not calling you any names. He's saying, "I want you to be informed." The word ignorant, I explained this at Bible study, the word ignorant is misused in our society, has been forever. It has been associated with people think they're being called dumb. That's not it at all. That's not what Christ means in the Bible. He means you're not yet informed, so I'm going to inform you. That's what it means. I don't want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to be uninformed, so I'm going to inform you. It's So here we go. Concerning spiritual gifts, I want to inform you of this. You know that you were Gentiles carried away by dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. First and foremost, the gift that he's going to give you is the gift of understanding, and I pray you will get it this morning. Are you with me? Do you want the gift of understanding? Do you want it? Do you want to understand God's Word? Then ask for it and receive it. Ask for it. Ask him in your heart this morning. Say, Lord, give me understanding in my heart. Just say it and mean it. He just told us through his word that you can say the word Jesus all you want. And you can cry out to God all you want. And you can burn candles at an altar. And you can tithe money. And you can ride on a float in a parade. You can do whatever you want. You can clean the toilets at Vanderhoof, or you can preach from the pulpit. But unless you have God's Holy Spirit in your life, it's meaningless. He wants you to have the gift of understanding. He wants you to understand that to live a spiritual life is to live a holy life, purposeful life, with benefits from God. We walk around as if nothing happened in our life most of the time, when we should be acting as if something miraculous happened in our life and telling others about it. Right, Lim? So glad that Lord sent Lim in here, because Jim and Ellie Bernard can't be here all the time because he has COPD. So now Lim's my amen man. And next time he says amen, how about you amen it with him? Are you listening or not? Because God wants you to understand this morning that you need his Holy Spirit to live the life he wants you to live. That's the first gift. It is the gift of understanding what God wants for you. How, remember the scripture we read this morning in Ephesians? I want you to know the width, the depth, the height of God's love. And you can only know that when you allow the Holy Spirit to enter in to you. Enter you. Verse 4, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. So that means that whatever gift that you're given is come from God. You got it? Whatever it is, it's still from one Holy Spirit. It takes everyone to make this work. It takes the carpenters, it takes the builders, it takes the scholars, it takes all of us to make this work. It takes people taking care of babies in nurseries to make this work. To let mommies and daddies maybe have a few moments of peace so that they can hear God's Word. I got a big dose of that here the last couple weeks. Yesterday, it kind of came to a head. We were trying to take the kids out on a little ride on our, it's our mule. It's a Kawasaki thing. It's not a mule that eats grass. It's a four-seater. We can put loads of kids in there. Probably have too many in it from time to time. But we only had the two yesterday. But it had been quite an adventure yesterday for all sorts of reasons. I won't go into the details. It's not important. I will just tell you this. By about 4:30, 5 o'clock yesterday, I was not speaking clearly. I was trying to ask Teddy if he was ready, and I said, are you Betty ready? And I'm serious, I said that. It came out of my mouth, and I said, what did I say? And Marilyn said something to me, and I said, I can't hear you. I can't hear you. Not only do I not hear you, I can't understand what you are saying. Thank God that mule started. We got him loaded up and buckled in, and we took a nice, peaceful little ride down in the woods. The time we came back, everything was all settled down. Babies were ready to get cleaned up for bed. And I could speak again. Sometimes you need God's Spirit to settle you down, don't you? Just to come in and help settle you down, right? Are you with me? Sometimes you just need to take that big, deep breath and say, Lord, help me settle down so I can hear you and know that you are real in my life. And then, when you can get to that point, you can say, God, what's the next task you have for me? Where do I go from here? Because one day you may be the minister, the next day you may be cleaning toilets. It depends on what God needs you for that day. But remember, since God's Word said it all comes from the same Spirit, it's just as important. There are differences of ministries, verse 5, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. What you do, and you do, and you do, and each and every one of you, what you do, cutting the grass, cleaning windows, doesn't matter what it is, working on a float, it is for the benefit of all. If it's Spirit-led, for the future of Christ's church. If it is for Christ, if it is to thank Christ, if it is to lead other people to a relationship with Christ, if it's for you, it's not for Christ. If it's for you, it's selfish. It's not for the benefit of all. It has to be for Christ. Then the benefit will spread to all. We have to divorce ourselves of this thing and let the Spirit lead us to benefit all of God's people. Can't be about me. If it is, I'm useless. I'm useless to God. It has to be for Christ first. Then you have an equal ground from which to play, right? If you want equality, here it is. Base everything on your love and your work for Christ Jesus, and everything else will fall into place, I promise you. I promise you that if you will divorce yourself and say, it's not for me, it's for Christ Jesus, and so that other people can know about salvation and love and a beneficial life, a beautiful life, a great life with benefits and a purpose, if you'll do that, it will benefit everyone else, and you won't have to worry about whether you got the credit or not. If Christ gets the credit, you have already received the blessing. He promises you that. Here are the gifts. There are many, but I'm most interested to get you to the book of Mark to show you how much God can change you. We'll look here. It says, for verse 8, for one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another, verse 9, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gift of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, and to another different kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretations of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. This is important before we start in the book of Mark here. You have to allow Him to give you the gift, and then you have to accept it for what it is, And it is a fool's game to say, no, God, I don't want that gift. I want another. Because then it's you desiring something for you. You can believe this or not. The last thing I thought I wanted from God was to do this. When I was young, I thought perhaps I'd be called to the ministry. I was young and I was looking up to my uncle. And I thought that must be a pretty good life. And I liked these shiny shoes and all that stuff. But I think that was just all physical then. And then as life went along and I walked away as I shouldn't have, I started discovering, I thought, that the last thing I wanted to do was to do this. Little did I know that this is what he had planned for me. I would rather have sat in the pew and sang. But he said, no. It's his will. And he gives you the gift that he wants you to have. And then you are supposed to use it for him. And the brightest, the greatest gift of all in the King James Version is called the gift of exhortation. E-X-H-O-R-A-T-I-O-N. Exhortation. This is the gift of encouragement. That's how it's defined. That's how it's reasoned through God's Word. The greatest gift that you can be given is that you would be the encourager to someone else to experience Jesus Christ. Because it fulfills, it checks every check mark of what God wants us to do. You have to be in prayer to God. You have to realize who He is. You have to study His Word. You have to realize and believe in your heart that he did something for you so that you can share it with someone else. When you're given that gift of encouragement, and you can have the gift of encouragement, the gift of exhortation, along with any other gift. That's the greatest part of it. And I believe he wants all of us to have the gift of exhortation. Because all of us are supposed to encourage the other, right? Every one of us. Doesn't matter what it is. We're working, cutting down a tree or splitting wood. We're supposed to encourage the other. If it's God's work. Encourage them to do the right thing. To live that holy life. To be better in this world than the average unfortunate person who does not know the Lord. And to not live a haughty life where we feel we're better than them, but to live such a life that they would want to know, what do you have that I don't have? Why are you so happy? I'm happy because I have a life with benefits and a purpose in life. And whether I'm preaching or what I'm going to be doing from the rest of my life, for the rest of my days here on earth, at least I know I can use the gift of encouragement to bring other people to Christ. The greatest gift that you can ever do, according to my Bible, is to lead someone to Christ. My Bible says that many, you can look this up for yourself. I wouldn't tell you anything up here. It wasn't true. God help me. My Bible says that your gift of encouragement will cover many sins. I knew it. They needed the military bag for Isla. She does that crawly thing. No, she does like a military crawl. It's amazing. She can go so... She's walking too. She doesn't know that she can walk, but she walks. She'll take 7-8 steps and then sit down. She's just finding her feet in her little place. And I use that to tell you this. Have you found your little place yet? Because it's a great place. It's a wonderful place. It's a life that's happy, and it's a life with benefits, and it's a life with purpose. When you can stand up on your feet for Jesus Christ and say, I believe, and I'm happier for it. Have a story to share with you. You've got the list of all the gifts. I have a story to share with you from the book of Mark. It's a great story. It won't take long. The book of Mark's a small book. We could probably go over the whole thing to begin with, but we're going to turn to the book of Mark, and I think it might be chapter 3. Let's see. No, it's Mark chapter 5. Now, with all of God's Word, you have the choice whether to believe this book and everything that's in it or not. It's your choice. I have chosen to believe this book. Whether it's a parable or a real-life story like this one, I believe that it's God's inspired Word. And I believe through all of my study that it can't do anything except benefit you. There is nothing I have ever found in God's Word from Genesis to the last word of the book of the Revelation that can ever hurt you if you decide to accept God as your Lord and Savior through the person of Jesus Christ. Nothing in here can ever hurt you. It can only benefit you. And these are life lessons. Christ had just finished calming the sea when we get to this. In chapter 4, he had been with his disciples and he rebuked the wind. That's my God. That's my Jesus. He can do anything. And his spirit is alive and it's well and it's here in this place and it's very present with me at this very moment. I can assure you of that. I feel him. I know he's alive. He was in a boat with his disciples, and they were being tossed to and fro in this boat, and God and his disciples were scared to death that they would be drowned, and he just rebuked the wind. He said, "Peace, be still." And that's what he wants for your life. He just wants that for your life. He just wants to take that turmoil out of your life and just listen to him, and just listen to him speak to you and say, "Peace, be still." And the next thing you know, it says they came to the other side of the sea, starting in chapter 5, verse 1. After that dramatic event, they rowed up on the shore. They sailed up, and here they are. It says, then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. There's two types of spirit in this world. There's a holy spirit, and then there's an unclean spirit of the dark one. And it says when he came out of the tombs, where was he? He's running around in a graveyard. There's nobody living in the graveyard when you visit there unless it's you. This guy, if he had any comfort at all, it was among the dead. I want you to get that. I want you to understand that. You can miss this real easy by just reading over it. This guy spent his time in the graveyard. We live next door to a guy in Clarksburg in Bridgeport, West Virginia. Gosh, if I said Clarksburg and actually lived in Bridgeport, the people in Bridgeport would have my hide. It's terrible, isn't it? Like when we moved to Parkersburg, everybody said, "Don't move to the south side." Why not? This guy spent his time in the graveyard. This guy in Bridgeport, every day. He was our neighbor. I won't mention his name. He had lost his wife. And every day he went to the liquor store, and every day he bought a fifth of liquor, and every day he went to the graveyard, and he sat there all day long. And he drank, and he drank, and he drank till he passed out, and then when he woke up, he would drive home. I only knew about that later, and this is a long time ago when he did this, but he did it every day. He had no peace. The only comfort he could find was with. There's no life there. Life is in Christ and His Holy Spirit. That's what my Bible told us this morning. The life is in Christ through His Holy Spirit. In verse 3, it doubles up what I'm saying. It said, He had His dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind Him, not even with chains. That means they had tried. You got me? You with me? People had gone to Him. They had tried to bind Him. They had put chains on Him, and they couldn't hold Him. That's how strong the spirit of evil was in this person. You think you're bad? This is a bad dude. It gets worse. And it says, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles were broken in pieces, neither could anyone tame him. You'll miss this if you're not listening carefully. You can't tame anyone in this world by shackling them and torturing them. You can hardly ever do that. The human spirit will rise back up again. Think of one of our heroes, John McCain. 6 years, beaten. Along with the other POWs, he had a chance to go home. He refused the chance because he didn't want to leave without the rest of his men. And they beat him for that. But they couldn't beat him into submission. This is not political. I'm talking about a hero. I'm talking about my Lord Jesus Christ. He's my hero. Because they beat him. They tried everything they could do. They drew blood. They put a crown of thorns on his head. They bashed him. They hit him with a cat of nine tails and made the blood run. They speared him. They did everything they could. They called him every name in the book, and they couldn't break him. Because he loved you. Because his love was that great for us. Because he wanted us to have a life that's happy and a life with benefits and a life with purpose. Not a life living in the graveyard. A life living healthy and loving one another and thanking God and trying to live a holy life. They couldn't bind him. They couldn't tame him. They tried everything. He was their village madman. And always at night, it said, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. You know about cutters today? There are many people, adults and especially children, who cut themselves, trying to feel something. That's why they do it. That's what all the research says. That's what they say. Why do you do that? Why are you cutting yourself? I can't feel anything. But when I do that, I can at least feel pain. Isn't it horrible that you would be breathing in and out and not be able to feel anything? But you would have to cut yourself and pain would be your friend? Well, then he saw Jesus in verse 6, and he ran and he worshiped him. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me." Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Even the demons. Every tongue. And even the demons realize the power of our Christ and the power through His Spirit in this world. The demons came to Him and fell on His knees and worshiped Jesus Christ. And He said, "I implore you, leave me alone." Why did He say that? He said it because He knew God had the power to cast him out. This unclean spirit knew that God had the power. That's why people do things in the dark of night. They think they can hide from God. That's why places that exist in this country and around the world do the majority of their bad business at night under the cover of darkness. They light it up with bright lights at night, but it's still night. And they think they can get away with murder and every other disease of human nature by doing it in the darkness. But even darkness knows the power of the light of Christ as manifested here in His Word. I'll get you done in just a moment. I promise you, here we are. And it says, "Don't torment me." And then Jesus Christ said to him, "Come out of the man, unclean spirit." This is Christ giving this man a gift. He took away one spirit, the unclean one, and He replaced it with His Spirit. And I'm going to prove it to you without reading the rest of this. We're going to turn to the end of this little story. He replaced the unclean spirit in the man, mankind. Don't miss the forest for looking at one tree. Jesus is using this example to tell us that He has the power to cast Satan out of mankind if they will accept the gift of His Holy Spirit. John the Baptist said, "I can baptize you with water, but there's one coming after me that's going to baptize you with His Holy Spirit." And when you get that, man, you got it. Man, I got the goosebumps going on. When you get it, you've got it. And He keeps giving after that. You just got to enjoy it. You got to relax, man. Take a deep breath. Quit mumbling and saying words that don't mean anything and accept the gift of God. And the unclean spirit fled from this man and went out from him. And I would like to tell you the rest of the story, but I don't want you to lose track of what's happening to this man. Yes, it says the spirit went into the swine and the swine went over the hill and they died and they jumped in the ocean and everybody got mad at Jesus because their investment ran off down the road. They lost their pigs. That's not the story. Yes, the world will get mad at you sometimes for accepting Christ's gift. What in the world happened to you? What's wrong with you? Why are you going to church? Why are you going to Bible study? Why are you working for the church? Are you crazy? Why are you giving your money to that old organization? Don't you know that's an old thing? It's done, it's gone, it's history. And you just stand there with that beautiful smile on your face saying, "I got something, man. I got a replacement job here. I got rid of that old spirit that was in my life and I got it replaced with this new spirit and I've got a gift of freedom and of life and I have benefits and I have a purpose. And I don't need that junk anymore." and I've decided to follow Jesus. And somebody might condemn you for that, but you just go ahead and let them. Don't talk down to them. Don't be nasty. Just keep telling them that you've got something. You've got something. And you want others to have it too. And pray for them and say, you know, brother, sister, my whole prayer, that's why I prayed that prayer with you out of Ephesians this morning. I want this church and this community to know the height and depth and width and breadth of Christ's love through His Holy Spirit. Because once He anoints you and touches you with that, there's no going back, I pray. Amen. Anybody else amen in here this morning? My goodness sakes, thank you. Thank you for the Lord, not for me. It's time to thank God. You can flip over and we'll look at the last of this. We'll start in verse 17. The people of the town. You know, sometimes people in towns, they want to keep their idiots because it makes them feel good. Yeah, they want to keep their crazy people, don't they? You know, old John over there, he's a lost cause. Boy, he's a dope. He's a dope head. He's nothing. Boy, I'm glad I'm not like him. And everybody can point to old John as he weaves down the street. I watched a special the other night of people on PCP. You know what that is? It's angel dust. It's made with strychnine and other horrible things that people put in their bodies. They lace cigarettes with it sometimes. People can take one drag off of a regular cigarette that's been immersed in that and lose their mind for the rest of their lives. PCP, angel dust. But some communities have their idiot or a whole bunch of them. You know, sometimes they have groups of idiots. Sometimes they have whole family of idiots and of crazy people, and they don't want anything to happen to them. Other people can't talk bad about them. You know who I'm talking about, right? They want to keep because it makes them feel good about themselves. Jesus did something to this man, and their pigs ran off, their investment went down the road, and they're begging him. In verse 17, then they began to plead with him to depart from not their town, from the region. They wanted him out. What's happening to us? Why are we begging God to get out of everything? What are we doing to ourselves? You're taking all these gifts that He wants to give you freely because of the work that He did, because of the love that He had for us, and we're telling Him to get away. I don't want it. I refuse your gift. Get away from me. It's not the way I want to live. And the townspeople said, not only get out of our town, get out of the region. And America seems to be saying, get out of Coolville and get out of the United States. But we still have people who believe, and I believe you're some of them, and I believe that you have the gift of encouragement, and I believe God wants to use you every day of your life. Use you every day of your life. God needs you, wants you, cares for you, loves you, died for you. He needs you to use your gift that He gave you through His Holy Spirit to encourage others to not give up on God so that your families can be saved from the unclean spirits in this world. The babies need to be trained up in the way of the Lord so that when they become adults, they can go out into the world. We've got Hannah sitting right here. She's about ready to burst forth and go out into the world along with the rest of our young ones. Ryan's back there. We've got these young people that need your leadership to help them understand that there is a God, that you believe in God, and that there's a, it's better to live this way than to live the other way. That it makes sense to love one another instead of fighting and carrying on. Well, the end of the story is this. They plead with Jesus in 17 to get lost and get out of there. And in 18, he got in his boat, and the man that had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. And Jesus said, I do not permit you to do this. Remember about the gift I told you that he would give you? That it had to be his will, and you don't get to pick and choose? That it's his gift to you? Well, here it is. Here's the proof of it. I told you I would prove it, and here's the proof. Jesus says, you cannot go with me in this boat. I need you to stay here where you have been born and raised in your community, and you need to make a difference right here. You need to be the exhortation president of your region. You need to be the encourager. You need to let people see the difference that God made in you and show the rest of the people in your area that God is real. What he was really saying is, you can go with me someday, but not today. I need you here. This community needs you here. This church needs you here. God needs his love to be shown through you, through the gift that he gave you, to be the encourager that you're called to be. Use whatever other gifts God has given you, but he has given each of us that gift of exhortation to encourage others in Christ Jesus. Someday, we'll be able to go with him. Someday, we'll go home. And we'll have that place of rest and peace. And it will be forever and it'll be eternal. But in the meantime, he needs you. Accept his holy gift. And lead a life that is happier, full of benefits, and with a purpose.